Well, without a doubt, he is the feistiest columnist in Chicago newspapers. It's Eric Zorn sitting right over there. Hello, feisty Eric Zorn.
It's good that there's a distance between us because sometimes my feistiness is just too much and it imposes on your personal space.
I cannot handle it. We wanted to talk a little bit with you about the correspondence dinner that was held over the weekend. For people who are not aware of the correspondence dinner, what exactly is it?
It's this, they call it the Nerd Prom. Yep. And every year, all the journalists in Washington and then people from around the country also come in for it. And it's a huge banquet in a big hotel in Washington. I'm not sure which one. And essentially, the main part of the evening is the president gets up and speaks, and he does a comedy routine, mm-hmm. followed by a noted comedian who gets up and has to follow the president, which never seems fair. Even when the president's not all that good, he's still the president, you know?
Wouldn't you agree that it is one of the biggest nights for comedy, not just in Washington, but in the country? Because, it's no holds barred. They can say whatever they want because it's under the guise of this night is just for fun, but a lot of honesty comes out on that night.
Yeah, Obama was pretty, it was funny, he was pretty harsh, actually harsher on Hillary Clinton, I thought, than he was on Bernie Sanders, who was in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of swiping at the media that goes on. Obama seems particularly good at this. He's got really good comic timing, and he...
the best I've ever seen.
And he's sort of self-effacing at the same time. He makes jokes at his own expense. I think he's really, really good at it, and he's going to, you know... probably get some gigs after he leaves office.
Yep.
But
stand-up gigs.
Yep.
One of the things he said was like, I'm going to try something like this. He said, I'm going to try some of my material tonight because if it goes well, I'm going to use it next year when I speak to Goldman Sachs.
Because it's been rumored that's where he's headed. Let me just play there were several jokes he pulled out that were really, really funny the other night. But this is a prime example of how great his timing is, how beautiful he can deliver a punchline. Listen to President Barack Obama from the Correspondents'
Dinner. Norm O'Donnell left the briefing room to host CBS this morning. Jake Tapper left journalism to join CNN.
So that's the beauty of that is Jake Tapper was sitting there and enjoyed it just as much as anybody. That was not a shot on Jake Tapper. That was a shot at CNN.
Right.
And the downfall of journalism in our country.
Well, and you compare that to Larry Wilmore, the host of The Nightly Show on Comedy Central. He took over for Colbert,
yeah.
was a year ago, maybe a little bit more. And he came on and he was doing jokes, but he was actually doing them at the expense of individual journalists. He said something like, we have a number of black journalists here. He named a couple and he said, and we also have Don Lemon.
Yeah.
You know, like Don Lemon's not a journalist. And Don Lemon gives him the finger.
Yes, he did.
From the
audience. Yes, he did.
My view, I thought Larry Wilmore's routine was just excruciatingly bad. Just not funny. He had a joke about, you know, there's this thing on the internet where Ted Cruz is the Zodiac Killer.
Yeah.
Of course, the Zodiac Killer was operating when Ted Cruz was like 3 years old. But nevertheless, it's this internet meme. He did like five jokes about it. He kept coming back going, well, he could be this. Carly Fiorina, she's running with a Zodiac Killer. And each time it got less funny. And he seemed kind of mean and like his writers. I mean, obviously these things are all done with writers. That his writers didn't realize the moment. They didn't realize, you got to really bring your A-plus game to this event.
It's a tough room. Cecily Strong did it last year from Saturday Night Live. They've had Stephen Colbert do it. They've had Seth Meyers do it. It's a tough job, but when done right, Seth Meyers was hysterical a couple years ago. Stephen Colbert was great a few years ago.
Colbert was good. Jon Stewart did it, I think. Well, I think Wanda Sykes was pretty good. I don't remember that routine really well, but I remember hearing that was good too. So it's a really tough job to do. Cecily Strong was not great.
She was okay.
She was sort of deadpan.
She's not a stand-up, though.
And the stakes were sort of, it was strange, because I'm not sure why they had her exactly.
Else was busy, maybe?
The person I'd like to see is Bill Maher.
He'd be all right.
Bill Maher is an excellent stand-up comedian. He's really tough and nasty.
Yeah.
But I think he's maybe
too
tough
and
nasty.
I'm not a fan of his at all.
You don't like him? No.
I really don't.
I know it's not that important for the president to have stand-up comedy skills, but I do think it says a lot about the person to be as confident as Barack Obama was and to deliver the lines in succession just without failure. I mean, there were some jokes that did better than others,
right.
But for the most part, that was 20 big hard minutes, and he was just so likable and funny.
Well, and this means a lot coming from you, since you've done this. You know, you've done stand-up comedy quite a bit, so you know how hard that is to hold a room and to
Well, there's a balance you need to take where you're making, I always thought anyway, you make fun of yourself a little bit, you make fun of the room a little bit, you can be specific with certain jokes, but for the most part, you're up there to make people laugh and have a good time. And he was masterful at that
again. Oh, yeah, he's really good.
For the eighth year in a row.
But he was good. You know, but in fairness, George W. Bush was pretty good at it too, actually.
I liked George W. Bush as a person. I think it would have been fun to hang out with him. He seemed like a likable guy. I love Barack Obama. I think he feels in his heart he's trying to do what he can. He seems like a very good person. You can have your debates, you know, okay, Obama, blame him for everything. Mm-hmm. Do what you want, but as a person, I genuinely love that man.
Yeah, and I think we are going to miss him. The song they played on his way up, "You're Going to Miss Me When I'm Gone."
Right.
I really do think that we will miss a lot of things about him. His intellect, his calmness,
yeah.
You know, and his self-effacing attitude. And you know, the thing is, like, you realize he's had this young family in the White House for 8 years, and there hasn't been a hint of scandal around that family.
You're right. Remember Jenna Bush got drunk at a party or something?
Yeah. I don't hold that against George Bush for goodness sake, but it's just kind of amazing how that family has really, and down to the news this weekend that Malia is going to Harvard.
Right, after a gap year.
She's going to go work in the Gap for a year?
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
I really thought a gap year was. When you said one of my daughters is doing a gap year, I'm like, really? Just working at the Gap, making
sure.
some money for college?
Exactly. So anyway, I think you're right. And, you know, the time will come for a thorough assessment of his presidency, but I think that it's going to be a lot better than people, especially his critics, think. That when history looks back in the Obama presidency and the economic disaster that he pulled us back from. And I know Obamacare's got a lot of problems, but it has set in motion the idea that, you know, poor people are going to have insurance coverage and not just have to go to the emergency room every time they get a hangnail. So you know, I think on balance, we are going to miss that guy. And, so it's good.
I knew Trump wouldn't show. I saw it last year when he just stared. When they were making Trump jokes, he just stared. Absolutely no emotion on his face at all. And I go, he wouldn't subject himself to that
Apparently his sons were there. His sons,
oh, were they?
His
I didn't
sons
know that.
Came, but he didn't show up. Well, Hillary Clinton didn't show up either. Neither
right.
Kasich. I guess they're all out.
Or Ted Cruz.
Campaigning. Yeah, Ted Cruz.
Bernie Sanders was the only guy that was there.
Ted Cruz has got to make a stand. We were talking to the editorial board this morning. If Ted Cruz does not win tomorrow
in Indiana,
he's basically done. I mean, mathematically, probably not, but it's pretty serious.
All right, let's come back and discuss that further. Eric Zorn is here. Boy, is he feisty. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Eric Zorn is here. He's joining us, Bill and Wendy, on WGN. You can jump in at 312-981-7200. Tomorrow, as it turns out, is an extremely important day if you're Ted Cruz or his running mate, Carly Fiorina. What do we have to look forward
to
tomorrow?
Yeah. Well, right now it looks like the polls in Indiana are looking poor for the Cruz-Fiorina ticket. It's something like a 14-point lead for Donald Trump. He's got, I think, 49% of the vote, something like that. And that is a really critical state because we're getting down to the last few primaries here. California's coming up June 7th. There's a lot of delegates at stake there. But if Cruz gets beaten in Indiana, it looks like Trump may be able to go to the convention with enough pledged delegates to take him over the top. Cruz fighting. He was on all the talk shows yesterday, Sunday morning talk shows, saying, you know, it's not over. It's not going to happen. It's not. He refused a very interesting conversation he had on Meet the Press where they were trying to get him to say that if he didn't get the nomination, if Donald Trump were the nominee, would he support him? And they tried like nine times he refused to answer. He kept saying, I'm going to be the nominee.
That's a good way to avoid the question.
Yeah, it is. And it was one of those things where people were saying that this is just the kind of sort of double talk and refusal to be honest that typical politicians do all the time. And it's the kind of thing that Trump doesn't do.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, Trump, he gives a straight answer. He gives different answers at different times, of course, but he doesn't shy away from just giving a blunt answer.
Right.
He's not afraid to offend or say the wrong thing. People find that very refreshing, even though obviously, he says the wrong thing quite a bit.
Although when he said he didn't know David Duke,
that was a problem.
That was a lie.
That was a little bit of a problem.
A little bit of a problem, but, you know, he
and I'm surprised he did that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's easy to trace.
And it's easy to just say, yeah, I know. I don't know what he did. But to say, I don't even know him.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of Donald Trump's image is based on image rather than actual performance. So, but in any case, if this doesn't happen tomorrow for... I mean, if Trump wins, it's going to be a really, really hard.
It becomes almost impossible.
And it looks like Hillary Clinton is going to close out Bernie Sanders, but the polling there is much closer.
Yeah.
I think it's 4 points last time I saw that.
Is it that close?
The polling in California that I've seen, of course, I mean, that's more than a month away, so it's hardly worth a lot, but Donald Trump is up by like 24 points in California.
Right, not even close.
So even if he loses tomorrow. But this is setting up. Indiana is setting up kind of like Wisconsin set up for Cruz. Remember, Cruz really pasted Trump in Wisconsin because he had the support of the governor, Scott mm-hmm. Walker up there, and it's Pence down in mm-hmm. Indiana. Pence's endorsement of Cruz was not quite as full-throated as Walker's. He said something like, well, I really like and admire Donald Trump, and he said a lot of important things.
Reagan.
And yeah, and it's
about
says,
Ronald
but
Reagan.
I'm gonna be voting for Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
And it was, and then he's traveling around a little bit with Cruz, but it was kind of lukewarm, and it left a lot of room for people to vote for Cruz. And this movement that was going on, the Anybody But Trump movement, that was the Republicans were trying to get going. And I think even maybe a week ago when we talked, they just announced that Cruz and Kasich, John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, the other remaining Republican candidate, that they were going to form an alliance.
Right.
They were going to split up the remaining primaries. I guess there's Oregon and New Mexico is coming up, and those were going to be Kasich's. Well, that by the time we were done talking, that alliance fell apart.
Yeah,
that seems tough to do anyway. You know, like I can't imagine Cruz going, okay, go ahead and take that.
But the interesting thing to me was that Kasich was the one who kind of blew it up. Kasich, who has won one out of 40 primaries?
Yeah.
He's the one. People were saying, well, are you urging your supporters to vote for Cruz in Indiana, which is like the basic idea behind this cooperation? He said, no, they should vote for me if they want to. And
he's only won Ohio.
He won Ohio,
far, right?
his home state of Ohio. Yeah. But he did pretty well Tuesday, four, whatever they're calling it. He did pretty well there. He got second place, I think, in three of the five primaries. I'm trying to remember, but you know, he's getting some traction, but he's got almost no delegates. He's playing an extreme bank shot to try to get this
nomination. And he can't keep a deal.
There's that.
But you know, they had to get to, there had to be some cooperation in the Republican ranks earlier on than what we've seen. And you know, one of the things that you know, I've heard other people say this, but I think it's really true, which is that one of the problems the Republican field had was that they were all kind of trying to be nice to Trump for a long time because they were all hoping that when Trump inevitably imploded, that all his support would then come to them. Remember, Cruz and Trump were like buddies for the first couple of debates. They were saying nice things about each other. And you know, in Cruz's brain was this thing twirling like, I'll just have to wait, and Donald's going to say something completely unacceptable.
Right.
All his supporters are going to go, well, now who do I go to? Well, that Ted Cruz has always been nice to him. I always liked him. So that was, I think that they were all kind of playing that game. They didn't want to really attack Trump. And so he was able to get more traction.
Go back a little bit to what we were talking about the pledge of support of the candidates. Once they're eliminated, like to say to Ted Cruz, okay, now you're out of it. Are you going to throw your support to Donald Trump? Why is that so important? And I know technically you go, because then all the people that were supporting him will then go, well, we have it from him himself, from Ted Cruz, to support Trump. But realistically, don't you respect the person a lot more who says, now, you know what? My politics and that man's politics are polar opposites. I don't support him. I'm sorry.
Well, Trump is a special case.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, generally what happens...
Say
in these,
that
the,
again.
Well, but generally what happens in these primaries is that these politicians, they're fighting over various interpretations of your Republican or Democratic doctrine.
Yeah.
Kind of the way that I feel like Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders are. They come at things differently, but in the end, they have so much more in common than they have, you know, with
different.
Each other than they do with, against the Republicans. So generally what happens in these things is that you fight bitterly during the primaries, and then at the end you say, well... Yes, I had my differences with you know, Mitt Romney, for instance, but he is much preferable to Barack Obama, and vice versa. You say that when Hillary Clinton supported Obama in 2008, you know, that was a bitter campaign as well. We sort of forgotten how nasty that
sure.
was in 2008, and how angry Hillary Clinton supporters were about Obama's rise and how Obama was taking the superdelegates and everything. But in the end, Hillary Clinton stood up and at the convention and had Obama nominated by acclaim and campaigned for him and made it clear that, you know, so that's what political parties do.
Right.
But what I'm saying about Trump being a special case is that, you know, he is someone who is not orthodox Republican in a lot of ways, and there's a lot of criticism about the stances that he's taken about over time, about abortion, about immigration, about trade, you know, all kinds of issues that do not necessarily fit with the Republican platform, who the Republican Party is. And so there are a lot of people who are thinking that we can't support this guy. We can't come together after this convention. He has to lose because we have to get our party back. And that's the
good luck with getting the party back.
Exactly. But it could, you know, could happen. People said that about the Democrats. Remember, was it 72 when McGovern? I was old enough to remember that. Mm-hmm. I remember. Mm-hmm. But, you know, McGovern got pasted in 70. Everyone thought the Democratic Party was just in complete disarray.
Right.
Well, they come back and 4 years later, Jimmy Carter's elected. So, parties do recover from this kind of thing. Yeah. This looks like a pretty serious wound to the Republicans.
I don't know if they can recover from this one.
But
It might take some time, but we'll see what happens. Eric, thank you. I appreciate it.
Is that Steve Bertrand coming?
Yeah, Steve Bertrand just walked
in. He's
going to
tag in for me.
Yep. He'll be in here in a minute.
Great to see you guys.
That's Eric Zorn. We'll be back in a little bit and find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.